Welcome to the Empathic Mastery Show. I'm your host, Jennifer Moore, and I'm so glad you're here. This is a place where we talk about what it means to be highly sensitive and empathic, how this impacts all aspects of our lives, and we explore tools, resources, and solutions so we can shift from absorbing all the thoughts, feelings, and energy of the world around us to being beacons for calm, love, and healing. Hey there, everybody. I'm so glad to be here with my wonderful guest, Lauren. I met Lauren when she invited me onto her podcast, Lauren.live. So as you might imagine, Lauren is the founder of Lauren.live, a spirituality and health podcast. She's interviewed over 80 guests within the first 2 years of her going live and is spreading consciousness and knowledge to listeners around the world. So definitely check out her podcast. She spends her time off the mic taking care of her two beautiful daughters, which are the lights of her life. And when Lauren and I first met, she was pregnant with her second daughter, who is now 11 months old as of the recording of this episode. So Lauren, I am so glad you're here. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It's so good to reconnect with you.
It's so good to reconnect and just to catch up. And so I was saying to you before we got on to the, we got on the recording that I always love to start by talking about, how did you recognize that you were highly sensitive? Were you a kid who was an empath? Did you come into this as an adult? Like, tell us your story. Tell us about, like, how has it been being a sensitive person in the world?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I was born into a sensitive family. I think we pick up a lot of things that could say that's like psychologically or spiritually. I think it's both your environment, nature versus nurture, right? Both my parents are very sensitive. My mom's a sensitive being, you know, she'll cry at the flip of a hat. My dad's a therapist. We've always talked about our feelings. So I've grew up in a sensitive home. So I think I just naturally had the awareness of, we talk about our feelings all the time and it's okay to feel everything all the time, right? But I definitely think I am as well, just spiritually in my soul. So definitely as a child, I remember talking a lot about our feelings and feeling sensitive about things and feeling things. And, you know, as I age though, you have the awareness and the consciousness coming through, just little things. A big thing with health and physical stuff, I think, is where I get very sensitive.
Yes.
Which is interesting. I actually do know, not to go down like a rabbit hole, but there's always something that happens. We're joyful children. We come in, everything is great. And then something happens usually in life and there's a little bit of a change.
Yes.
And you have this awareness that like, oh, not everything is just carefree every second. There's feelings and there's scary things that happen and this fear thing. And my dad had a seizure and I was six and I was at home with my mom. I woke up very early in the morning, 6 a.m. She came running in, called 911, and I was seeing him seize and it was terrifying as a six-year-old. I didn't know what was going on. My dad and my mom's crying and I'm in my room by myself while she's with him, like burying my head in the blanket, just crying and scared. So scared.
Yeah.
And I think that was the first thing with health stuff that really, I just so sensitive to that kind of stuff. And that's still stuff I'm working through today as an adult, as a 39-year-old with things with health. I'm very, any friend will know, anyone who knows me, my husband, I'm very germ conscious and like controlling and hand washing because I want to prevent sickness. It
yes.
comes from not wanting to see someone else hurt or myself hurt or my family. So I think I've just always been sensitive, but especially when it comes to physical stuff. My grandfather had an open heart surgery. I went into the hospital with him and my family at age 10 and I almost passed out. You know, a lot of 10-year-olds, I don't know if they would necessarily comprehend that and go into almost like a tunnel vision path of, right? So
right.
There's something there with the physical body and it's a lot for me. And I think I just get very easily triggered with health stuff. So to answer your question, yes, I think as a child, I may not have been aware of it. Now looking back, I realize, oh yes, you were very sensitive and you still are very sensitive.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Well, and one of the things I'm hearing, I mean, for one thing, I'm like, oh my God, parents are a therapist, ding. Father with a seizure disorder, ding. Like there are some weird similarities in our childhood.
Yeah.
But one of the things I'm struck by is the fact that, you know, so many empaths that I talk to grew up in families where they were told they were too sensitive, that they were overreacting, that they were taking things too personally. But what I'm hearing is if anything in your family, emotions were kind of the frequency or the currency. And so it was almost like there was more permission for this. And I had definitely got messages as a child that I was too sensitive, but not necessarily from my family because my mother is a psychotherapist and my father was a social worker. And so I also grew up in an environment where emotions trumped everything. For me, it took getting to adulthood, like well into my 30s, to start realizing that like emotions are only one fraction of the whole makeup of being a human. And so like, because from my experience, childhood was like, stop the world. I'm having a feeling I have to get off. Like there was this way that emotions just always overpowered everything. But it seems like that experience of growing up in an environment where people did support you in being sensitive. I wonder sometimes if when we're around people who are like, oh yeah, you're just sensitive. It's okay. If anything, it's like, it almost like you don't realize how sensitive you are.
Yeah, that's true. See, that's true. And maybe not until I was older and then you're out of your house with your parents and, you know, I'm in college and I'm dating. And that was a big thing for me in dating. I was told by many guys, you're too sensitive. You're too sensitive. And I'm like, I mean, this is what we're emotionally connected. How can you not be sensitive? I'm thinking to myself like, duh, like let's talk this out. And it's not that I'm like better than anyone. Trust me. I have my own areas to work on, but I felt so emotionally advanced probably because I'm from a home with like a psychologist. We always talked about our feelings. I was always open communication. Like this is how we get through things or this is how we end a relationship. And anyone who's dated a lot knows like people don't do well with talking about things. Like they'll get ghosted or they'll just, you know, avoid you or whatever. And I used to, people would ask me, and I'd be like, I'm sorry. Like, I don't think I'm feeling this, but like, nice to meet you. I wish you well. And there was like, oh my gosh, like, thank you for being so forward and telling me that. So I think like, I'm just like, duh, that's like how the world should work. Right. Like you wouldn't not show up to work and tell your, like, I don't know, just the way that people treat each other in relationships baffles me. So I think I noticed it more in my teens and adulthood.
Yes.
How people maybe just aren't as sensitive as I am. And I thought it was normal.
Yeah.
I mean, I do think it's normal because I think we're sensitive, like beautiful souls and some of us more than others. But that's really when I think I started noticing it as an adult. And then, oh my gosh, as a parent, oh boy, that's even another whole thing of like, that's been my greatest teacher. Just so sensitive and easily triggered by things that I hear. I can't listen to the news or bad stories about things with kids. It's too much for my mama heart. But at the same time, it's made me, I'm so strong. I never knew how strong I could be because sometimes I just have to push my worries and feelings and fears aside just because it's about them and survival. And it's incredible. Like I said, it's been my best teacher. It forces me to look within myself and I want to raise beautiful, sensitive beings. My daughter, my oldest, is extremely sensitive and empathetic, especially to me. I've had readings where they've told me she's really closely tied to me.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I'll literally drop like a broom on the hardwood floor in the other room and she'll think that I fell and she'll start crying. She's so sensitive to me. Or if I start getting nervous, she starts panicking. It's so crazy. So it's interesting how we're tied to one another sometimes too.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I know that was a lot, but different parts of your life, I think you get in tune with different sensitivities and the awareness. And now that I have the awareness, like we talked about on the show, when you were on, you gave me some really good tips because I can struggle with some of that stuff, especially with the world today, just the chaos. That giving yourself permission, you don't have to hold everybody else's. You don't have to hold it.
Right.
Been incredibly valuable. So thank you.
Oh, that's why we're here. That's why we do these podcasts for sure. You know, Lauren, I have a thought. I'm curious about your, if there's any unusual component to the birth experience between you and your first daughter, because my birth experience with my mom was an unusual one, and it was a challenging birth. And I was very sensitive to my mother's health and safety, very, very aware of her mortality. And so I was just wondering, like, did you guys have just a completely normal birth experience, or was the birth almost like the precedent or the thing that might have, the catalyst that started this?
Yeah, it could be. It wasn't traumatic. It was long, which I have theories on that. And I read this beautiful book, and I can't remember the author, but it's on Amazon. And I recommend it to anyone who's thinking about getting pregnant, trying to get pregnant, is pregnant, whatever it is. It's called Spirit Babies. And I really do believe it assisted in helping me manifest my first daughter in. I had a miscarriage, and then my husband and I were doing a lot of meditating and some other things. But I also read that book, Spirit Babies. But it talks about how we have cords, connected spiritual cords, and the baby is connected to you before they're even in your body. And so some of it could be before she even came. But it could be during that birth experience. It did say in the book that the longer the labor and delivery takes, there are things that are being worked out. And depending on the mother's energy, it can go faster. So maybe if I had some fear and some holdups, even subconsciously, it might have made it take longer. Who knows? Interesting to think about. But it was a 72-hour from my water breaking until she came out. Long time. Now, I didn't have a lot
long time
day, thank God, because I wasn't having any contractions. They were having a hard time getting them going. So once I finally got them going, but it was a long, like 4.5 hour pushing. It was a long labor, but thank goodness she was healthy and I was fine at the end of it. So maybe there's a connection there. I'm not sure. It wasn't traumatic, but I just think because I'm really sensitive, she's picking up on that energy. And I'm trying to be really aware of that. Some of it is good. Some of it can be too much. And I've been given a lot of advice and been working on this with my mentors and my medium friends and spiritual advisors of just being really aware of my energy. If I start getting panicky about stuff, the germs or whatever it is, calm down, because she's going to pick up on the energy and I don't want to create a crazy germaphobe. You know what I mean?
Yes. Well, and it's so much of what we show, we model to children is our response to something. Like if we respond to something like, yep, I'm uncomfortable, it's, you know, yep, it's not a big deal. Like that, even it's like, you know, yeah, like my arm is hanging off by a thread. Like, but when we have that ability to be calm through it, it's like we give our children the perspective to be able to be like, oh, okay, this is not fun, but I can navigate this. Whereas if we have a parent or anybody who's a role model who's constantly demonstrating like kind of a high drama response to things, that's what our kids respond to.
Totally.
So yeah, like
I'm of that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really hard to be a conscious parent, not only a conscious individual on my own, but I realize that my actions, my thoughts, and more importantly, I believe my energy.
Your energy
greatly affects my children and my household. So obviously, I'm not perfect and I won't be perfect, but I'm striving to be better about my energy, because that's a big thing for these kids coming into now, as I think they're really sensitive and high vibrational, you know, energetic beings. And so, man, they're good teachers, I'll tell you.
Powerful teachers. I checked on Spirit Babies and the name of the author is Walter Makichem.
That sounds familiar. Yep.
Yes. So Makichen is how you say it. And it's Spirit Babies, how to communicate with a child you're meant to have.
Incredible.
So
yeah, it's a great book.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, and I'm sort of thinking, like, as you had said, you know, for you and even like your podcast, it's all about spirituality and health. And so of course, health being kind of this area that is the most important thing. And then that intersection between spirituality, health, and your kids. It seems like you know, before you and I got on, you were telling me about this health situation that had come up for you and your daughter. And so it's kind of like, what an intersection of all of these things.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, we can chat about it. It's so funny. So I know people that don't know, you know, people that listen to my show, maybe you can pick up on me talking a little weird today. Others may just think it's how I talk. I am speaking like I'm running over my tongue because I have these horrible lesions in my mouth. Anyone who knows hand, foot, and mouth knows it's awful. And my daughter picked it up about 2 weeks ago. I thought I was in the clear. I was taking all my homeopathic meds. Nope. For some reason, I had to experience this. My husband did not and has not so far, fingers crossed. And my baby, thank God, I think the antibodies in my breast milk, we were designed to protect. But us two got it, which is interesting, energetically connected. But it was literally, and still is, I'm on the tail end of it. It's healing, but my poor mouth, you guys, it's the most painful thing I've ever had. It's just the longest drawn out, horrible, you know, brushing teeth is like a terror. It's just the worst. So anywho, I think, you know, I always think like, what is this teaching me? What is this supposed to be teaching me? Every time I get sick, I always just, oh my gosh, one, I'm just thankful when I am healthy. Health is literally almost everything to me. You know, if you don't have your health, my goodness, it's a hard battle here. And a lot of our experience here is a physical experience. It's, you know, that's part of life. I always ask, why do we have to experience viruses here? COVID, you know, we all kind of had to think about that too, right? What is the purpose? And I think there might be multiple purposes. I'm not quite sure. Is it to, you know, scientifically, is it to like make us stronger? Maybe, you know, survival of the fittest or something. I don't know. But spiritually, I think it's really interesting. And I think what's helped me, ironically, the germaphobe, got it. I've been really relaxed. I've been letting my kid play on every playground. She started dance class. She was touching strangers' balls. That sounds bad. Playground soccer, a soccer ball.
I understood what you meant.
That sounds horrible. Yeah. Hopefully you laughed. A soccer ball, a little boy's soccer ball. And she put it up to her mouth and I was like, oh shit. But I'm like, let it go. This is what kids do. They have to experience it, Lauren. Literally, this is my inner dialogue. And then she gets super sick. And I'm like, this is why I'm the way that I am, because this has been hell. It's been horrible, but we're fine and we'll get out stronger. But the point is, like, I've learned like the resistance and stuff. So I've been doing a lot of meditating about healing on her and myself, which is, this is actually really cool. I see chakra colors sometimes at a medium or acupuncture only with my eyes closed. This was the first time in her room when in the dark, I was meditating over to heal her. She was in the thick of like a super high fever. And I saw purple with my eyes open, swirling around her head. So that was really cool.
That is really cool.
Sometimes, as almost everyone knows, everyone I've had on my show, if you ever listen to my show, it's always about that, like the darkest night of your soul, right? Something happening, not that this was like the darkest night of my soul, but I'm just saying when hard things happen, often there's so much growth.
Yes.
For me, I think maybe some spiritual growth is happening through all this, just showing me like, you are okay. She is okay. We will be okay. I'm so grateful for our immune systems. I'm not going to like look at this in a fear-based way. I'm actually like befriending the virus. Like, let's do this, you ass. Like, we're going to do this. You're in my body. I will fight you off. What can I learn from you? So I'm trying to, you know, shift my perspective instead of resisting it. Yes. So I thought that was really cool. And I've just been so grateful that I'm the one that gets to take care of her. Even though it was so hard and I was waking up every night with her crying and sweating and checking her temperature. And I'm like, mama heart's like worried about her by day seven. I'm just like, when is this going to end? Right. But I got to be her. I'm her mom. I got to do this. What an honor. Like, and then when she was better, just the gratefulness and like, and to get back to your show, the empathy that I had for her when she was sick. And now that I've been experiencing, I know what she went through. So that's another thing with sickness, right? Going through things. And then you have empathy for yourself and others that maybe have chronic illnesses all the time. This is how they might feel all the time.
All the time. Yeah.
That's a whole other thing about the empathetic part of it. So a lot when you're sick, I think people realize it forces you to slow down and really tap in. So there's a lot of beauty in it, actually.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Well, and I find sickness very, very often is also about boundaries, that it's like what I've found is that if I am not listening to the subtle hints from the universe and like, especially like my own subconscious and my own feelings about something, it's like, if I keep kicking that can down the road, eventually my body is going to be like, yeah, no, you are not doing this.
Yeah.
And that I find again and again that my body will bring me to the place where it's going, you need to pay attention.
Totally.
And so I find, I like you, I'm always questioning or asking, what am I supposed to be learning from this? What is this about? Drives my husband nuts because he'll wake up and he's like, I have a headache. And I'm like, why do you think you have a headache? And he's like, I don't know, I just have a headache.
That's what I say too. Yeah. Like, I'm just sick. I'm like,
well, why do you have a same thing like
over and over? That's also to look at, because until you learn, I think, and it could be not just health. It could be like, for me, I struggle with it in relationships. The same issue is just coming until I finally looked at it.
Yeah.
So yeah, I agree with you. It's
Yeah. Well, and I mean, as you're saying, it's like whatever the issue, whether it's relationships, whether it's a circumstance, whether it's a health situation, if the same thing keeps happening over and over again, this is the universe saying, hey, pay attention.
Totally. And it's funny too, because this weekend, you know, we're not as busy just because we have two young kids. I mean, we do things socially, but like not that many things, like maybe one exciting thing a week and maybe like a play date or something. But I had my 39th birthday on last Friday with
happy birthday.
Thank you. My fourth anniversary with my husband the next day. We had a 40th birthday of a friend's the next night. And then a housewarming party that had been on the calendar for months for our house, and our, you know, friends were coming over. I'm like, oh my God, 4 days in a row. And Valentina, my daughter, finally got better right in time for us to do all those things. And then I'm not kidding you, Monday morning, I woke up and I was like, I feel awful. And I had like 103 temperature. I've not had 103 temperature. Like, it was worse than any COVID or anything I've ever had. Like, it was horrible. And it went away and the fever went away in one day. Luckily, the sores were the worst part. But the point is, it was like, I was just like, go, go, going. And I felt so tired and a little bit like fatigued. And I now know it was like starting, but I thought I was just tired from all the activity and taking care of my sick kid all week. But it was almost like I had been stressed so much about this housewarming thing too, because I'm a Virgo perfectionist and I like to have everything in order. And we just moved into this house 6 months ago. I'm like literally still hanging up pieces of art on the wall, like the morning of the housewarming. I'm like, who does this? And we have two kids. I'm like, why did we even do this? This is too much work. And I was like stressed. And then look what happened, all this. I mean, who's to say, but it was a force. It forced me to just slow down and
slow down.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah,
definitely.
Virgo. So you're a Virgo sun. What's the rest of your?
I don't know. You know, I should know because I've had all my readings. I know I'm a Virgo. I always forget what's on my houses. I've had a Vedic astrology, but I need to look at my chart. I forget. Yeah. But I'm a Virgo to a T.
Yeah. I'm a Capricorn with Virgo rising. So I can really appreciate that, like just all of the aspects of that Virgo energy and everything. Yeah. And I can only imagine what it would be like to be trying to do a housewarming party in the middle of all of that. Yeah.
I know. It's been a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So just really talking about having kids as your spiritual teacher and noticing or like feeling like you need like this level of self-awareness. I guess I'd love to unpack that a little bit more and hear like, what have you been aware of and what changes have you needed to make? Like how have you grown as a result of this?
Goodness, I feel like I've grown so much and I have so much to continue to learn, but I had a really cool reading with a gal. If anyone checks out this episode, The Water Matrix, and I did a session with her. We talked all about my fear with the germs and all this stuff and getting sick and like control. It all comes back to control. A lot of us who have, you know, whether it's like an eating disorder or something in a relationship or like my thing, like the germ, it's like, I'm trying to control something and you can't always control clue. It's like, I know that, but I just have this habit, right? So I know it stems from my childhood, like I said in the beginning. So it's like being aware and all that, but She said, it's okay if you want to like Lysol the counter off or your cell phone off when you come home. There's nothing wrong with you actually doing those things because you have a good intent.
Yeah.
What is your energy like when you're doing it?
Mm.
So sometimes I'm like, I'd like to clean up. I'm going to do this. Other times, maybe I feel like I'm rushing home and the kids are starting to like touch everything and I haven't had a chance to like wash their hands and I'm starting to get like, oh my God, like husband, to my husband, like we gotta like wash their hands before they touch all the toys. And it's like, I get like, oh my God, it's like calm down. Like I'm like noticing that now, like my energy, like I'm getting heightened and it's not healthy mm-hmm. for me or them. So mm-hmm. stuff like that, like the awareness, it's really been cool for myself and my family because my husband's very tolerant of me, but he's also like, oh my gosh, like you have to calm down. Right. So, yeah. Like, and I know it must just sound so ridiculous to certain people because they're just like, we're around. It's like, I know that we're around germs. I'm not like, I get all this. Like I played on playgrounds as a kid. I'm obviously alive. Like I get that. But again, because I had so many years of this and it was like a protection thing.
Yeah.
It's hard to reverse that. You know, you can't just like stop doing it as an adult. But one thing I've been forced because kids touch everything. And you
touch everything.
Control it, especially yeah. now that I have two. With one, it was a little easier, but like try flying on a plane with a child. It's like literally my worst nightmare, but it's been good for me because we've gone on flights and yeah, sometimes we've gotten sick and sometimes we haven't and she's been fine and I'm fine and we're good, right? But right. it's helped me realize I cannot have control every second all the time right. for them and myself. So I think it's been cool to watch myself. I'm not perfect. I still do it, but I love that tip. And I would give that to anyone who's struggling with any type of control thing, any type of energy, whether you feel like you're suppressing it or you're putting too much out. What is your energy like in this moment? Are you doing something out of joy or just, you know, whatever, something that's making you feel better, that's fine. But if you're energetically off,
mm-hmm.
that.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's something that I've seen myself actually using and being more conscious of, and it's helping me. So I'm proud of myself for that, but it's going to be, you know, it'll be a lifelong thing for me. Oh my God. I mean, not just with the germ thing, like they're just teaching me so much, like, oh, just, they're just in awe of everything. It's all new. I'm looking at it through a child's eye and watching Valentina either bop her little sister on the head for one moment, natural bigger sister, you know, jealous big sister, or right. going up and giving her hugs and playing with her, rubbing her back. She came in to help wash her hair the other day in the bath, like in my like heart. I'm like, okay, we are actually raising a baby who's like, you're a child that's empathetic and loving. And that's literally like our goal here is to create a loving, empathetic human on earth. This is what we've been given, you know, our job to do. And so, you know, our big, I think any parent, like, I hope I don't F this up. Like, this is a huge responsibility. But then you see things like that. I'm like, we're doing something right here. Like, you know, and just, gosh, I mean, and every day is just a teaching opportunity for us to teach them, but they're teaching us so much. And it's just been the greatest joy of my life. It's the hardest thing I've ever done as well. Really, we rub off on them. Some of my ways will rub off on them, but I'm trying my best to be balanced and not allow my fears to, you know, overtake their life. So, you know, that's a lot, but just every moment is an opportunity. And it's just been the most beautiful, coolest thing to see her be empathetic to me when she sees that I'm upset. You know, it just reminds me really our spiritual beings in these human bodies, right? Yeah. And even an almost 3-year-old, she understands these things. Like it's the coolest thing.
It really is. Yeah. Well, and I'm thinking as you're speaking, it's like, you know, we do influence each other and our children and everything. And they also come in with their own karma. They come in with their own spiritual agreements. They come in with their own contracts, with their own stories, as well as like, you're not the only part of the equation. Like she's got her dad's resilience. And I, you know, it's funny because my mother is a much more high strung person. My father was somebody who tended to be very, very low key and kind of just like he rolls with the punches. And when I was a child, I was very influenced by my mother's behavior. And so I was much more high, like high reaction. But as I've gotten older, I've realized I actually have a lot more of my father in me than I thought. Mm-hmm. And I'm actually a lot less reactive than my mom is because I'm a lot more like my dad. And so I just, sometimes I think, there's that awareness of how do we influence them. But then there's also and sometimes no matter what we do, they're just going to be who they are.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's actually, I'm glad you said that, because this is actually, I don't know if it's me being empathetic to her. I guess it is. You could say that. I don't think this is just me as like more of a type A control. I'm not like over controlling, but like I'm a Virgo and I do like to have it kind of in its place, but I'm like talking, Virgos are always so critical of themselves and others. And you always read and you're like, God, they just sound so bad. But Virgos are really cool too. Okay. Like we're very loyal.
I love Virgos.
You know,
my dad is a Virgo.
Yeah. So to be positive, we're not just like, you know, type A weird freaks all the time. Like I can be very fun and anywho, but with her, oh my gosh. Oh, I'm learning this because I'm a new parent. So friends of mine who have older children are already through a lot of this and they're continuing to go through, and it'll keep changing as they're teenagers and adults, of course, but I'm starting to learn it when they're babies. They don't really do much. They just cry. They need to be fed. They might start playing a little bit, but they can't really talk back to you. They're not making their own decisions. I have an almost 3-year-old, which if anyone knows, they love to be in power. They love to make their own decisions and they can flip their mood literally in a second. And it's like, wow, this is insane. It's like amazing. It's frustrating. It's so cool and crazy all at the same time. So I'm noticing already she's a very sensitive being. She's been very shy lately. And there's times where I'm like, it's okay. Like go play, like go. And like, that's what I'm just, cause I want her to just go have fun. Of course. That's like, I'm trying to be like, but then I'm also like, she doesn't want to, I need to be here for her in this moment and support who she is in this moment. Right. Like that's my logical brain. Like, cause maybe I want to like talk to my friends at the party and just have her like go with all the other kids, the normal kids that are playing together. And I'm thinking, no, like, she's sensitive. Yeah. She'll probably grow out of this. She's actually already like kind of grown out of it more and more. She started a new dance class. And the first time she grabbed the teacher's hand and walked across the room without me, like we're making our little baby steps. And I'm just like, it's okay if she's like more shy. And all my other friends, you know, like just keep getting her out there. And, you know, I'm kind of feel like judged or whatever. And I'm like, no, like I'm learning now that as she's getting older, like I need to meet her where she's at.
Yes.
And that's hard because, you know, we want the best for our kids. And I'm like, oh, like you'll be fine. Just go, Valentina. But it's like, I need to learn like, no, I'll be here for you. And if you're not ready to go, we'll just watch the dance class. Now she ended up when I kind of sat back and was like, go for it. She did go and she got to make that decision. But I guess my point is I'm learning now that she's getting a little older. I need to really be conscious of like meeting her where she's at. And so it could be literally with anything. It could be something like that in the dance class. It could be when she has her first boyfriend, when she's however old and she gets her first breakup and she's an emotional disaster, or she's not, and she doesn't want to talk to me. Like that's when it's going to be really tricky with the emotional part of it, right? Like the empathetic, like you were talking about with your parents, like, oh, you're too sensitive. Or, you know, I never had that with my parents. Right. But just, I need to really be conscious of like, this is who you are and where you're at. And I love you and I'm here to support you. So I think that's really an interesting thing for us parents, is to raise emotionally, spiritually mature children and celebrate where they're at.
Yes.
And
yes.
Not push them into what we think they should be.
Well, and you know, this is such a big thing, I think, in general. And as empaths, I think not only are we hearing the words that are coming from somebody, but we're also feeling the intentions and the will coming from somebody as well about what they think we should or should not be doing. And the pressure to comply, it's like we get conditioned to this from a very early age. And yet I was thinking, as you were speaking about meeting her where she's at, it's kind of like, anything you try to force on somebody turns into something really weird. Like, you know, like for example, I think about parents who like restrict sugar with a child, who like do like really rigid diets. How often those kids end up having really weird relationships with food later and go off the deep end because of that pressure. And it's almost like if you're just like, yeah, fine, whatever, let's just sit and watch the dance class. Like, you know, that, wow, that looks like fun. Like, it's almost like you just don't make a big deal out of it. And she can just become part of it. Whereas right. if you bring in all this emotion and like, oh my God, I'm so worried about you. It turns into, it just gets, it amplifies. You know, there's a saying, what we resist persists.
That's true.
And where we direct our energy is what we amplify. So it's like, if we're looking at our kid and being like, she's too shy, that's what's going to grow.
Totally.
Whereas just like, yeah, let's just go sit and watch the dance class.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, it'll be interesting to see if she ages. I have a feeling she won't be very shy. She's a Scorpio. And this is, I think it's a developmental, like it's very normal, obviously, for 2 and 3 year olds to go through shy periods.
Exactly. Yeah.
The thing is, I'll catch her like smiling at the girls as they're walking by. Like she loves it. And I'm, you know, and then she talks about it. She woke up when she was sick last week at 1:15 a.m. She had a fever. Woke up and in bed, she goes, dance class. She missed the dance class that week, but she's talking about dance class. Like, wow, what an impression this is making on her, right? So I'm like, okay, like we're going to keep doing this. She's liking this. Like she, you know, I believe in like child-led learning, child-led activities. I'll be looking into some Waldorf schools for her next year. And so I think that's the cool thing about being a parent right now is there's so many cool things changing in the education system and spiritually like enhanced curriculums and just more knowledge of these highly energetic souls that are coming in. And like you said, there's just this like conformity that like we grew up in school, it's not working anymore and it's changing. It's such a cool time because there's just a different way of looking at it and letting them be who they are with some structure, sure. But not like when we were kids and you're just like forced to sit in a room. And what if you are a highly energetic, you know, sensitive person? That's not going to work very well for you. It just isn't. Yeah.
No, it really doesn't. Well, and you know, I've been thinking a lot about the waves, you know, Dolores Cannon. I don't know if you're familiar with her.
Oh, totally.
Love Dolores. And Dolores talks about the three waves. And it feels to me like we've got a fourth wave, you know, that this new wave of volunteers that are coming in. And it's like, the first wave, those of us who are kind of at the beginning wave or in the second wave, our experience is very, very different than the third wave people and now these fourth wave people, because they're a lot less like in some ways it feels like they're a lot less compliant. Like they're a lot less willing to just go along to get along. And so we get these amazing kids who are just showing up with their light and just being like, yeah, I'm here to do something. I'm not here to worry about like whether I'm wearing the right pair of sneakers or something.
Right. It'll be really cool to see as this next generation, when they're in their teens and adulthood, just because there's so many changes happening in society too. And I think they're really good. Although it feels chaotic right now, I think it's going to be good for them. And one thing I have to say, this is really funny. I can't prove it, obviously, Dolores Cannon. Of course, I know who she is because I had a reading about a year ago and it's with a friend of mine, Travis Hill. He's been on my podcast a few times. He told me that because, you know, he has guides that come through for me. Usually it's been like great grandparents and things. One time she came through her soul, not Dolores Cannon per se. Yeah. Dolores Cannon's soul came through and said she was my mom in another life. Isn't that freaking crazy?
That's amazing.
Random. Yeah.
But and I never, the irony is I never talk about Dolores Cannon. Like, okay. I think this is actually the very first time in any of my podcasts that I've discussed Dolores.
So this is the kind of stuff I'm telling you, synchronicities. Why'd you bring it up in this podcast?
Right.
Not everyone knows who she is. When he talked about it, I'm like, yes, I know who she is. And my sister-in-law always sends me Dolores Cannon stuff. So it's like, maybe this really is something that I need to explore, try to chat with her sometime or whatever. But see, you never know. She did say, she goes, I said, oh yeah, I've seen some of her videos on who she is. And he goes, she's chuckling and saying that's not by mistake. So even her coming up, maybe she was pinging you or something. Who knows?
Well, and for those of you who do not know, Dolores Cannon is the OG of past life regression work. Yeah. And she basically created the past life regression hypnosis work. And which she has a technique called QHHT, quantum healing hypnosis technique, which I actually have studied the level one and just, I adore Dolores, but she definitely feels like she's got a very, very powerful, very strong presence and she chooses us. Like she's like,
definitely, Yeah. She's like our grandmother. She's like,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, cause she's just kind of this plain Jane grandmother up there talking about stuff. You know, you're like, whoa, this is cool stuff. Yeah.
It is really cool stuff. Well, and what I love about her too, is that I find that she makes sense to me, that so far, nothing I've heard her say doesn't ring true for me. Like it all lands. It's just amazing.
Yeah, no, I love it. It's a lot about like breaking karma and stuff. And I really like her.
Well, and this kind of goes back to where we were starting with about the calling in the soul of your daughter, calling in your spirit baby, and the fact that you guys had a soul contract. And even from that standpoint, like, you know, Dolores would be like, okay, what past lives do you guys have? Yeah. That is going to cause your daughter, Valentina, to be so hypervigilant. Like, what have you guys gone through? What experiences have you had that would make her more sensitive to, like, to you and to just wanting to be sure you were okay and safe?
Yeah, that is interesting. Yeah. And we find as she gets older too, can do some readings, and we can obviously do some things now when she's younger, but when she's old enough to understand that and consent to more things too, it'd be interesting to see if she can experience anything from her past. Or we've been told that we've been in each other's lives before. My husband and I have, and we've been told that Ruby, my baby, this is her first time here. Mm-hmm. But that's interesting. So I don't know. It'll be interesting to watch them, and if they get older, if I can get anything out of them. Obviously, I'm not going to, like, you know what I mean, like, make them say things. But if I can say, like, do you remember anything, like, where you came from, or do you see people? Do you ever see things? Like, just be curious to see what they say. But yeah, I think, you know, we're obviously contracted in together and we're a soul family. And I don't know, it'll be interesting to see if we can find out in this lifetime what connections we had prior.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, and I find sometimes, like, watching what kinds of things do they become historical periods are they really fascinated by as very young children. My nephew, who is now an adult, but when he was a little boy, he was obsessed with the Civil War and particularly with the Union soldiers. And he even, like, went as a Union soldier for Halloween at, like, the age of 3 or 4 for a couple of years. Like, he dressed as a Union soldier for Halloween. And then one day he and my mom were just, like, walking around outside in their backyard, and he was pretending that he was walking in on his property as a Union soldier and that there was a family graveyard in the backyard. And he's, like, walking through the family graveyard, and he's talking about, and he says to my mother, he goes, "And Mima, that's where you're buried." And I was like, I'll never be able to prove this, but I really suspect there was, like, he was so fresh that he was still remembering, and that there was this past life bleed through going on where he was recalling the family plot. He was recalling all of this. And I would not be in the least bit surprised if, you know, he and my mother had a past life where she, I guess, had been either she might've been his mother in this previous life, where he was a Union soldier who came back home to find, you know, family members, you know, to come back and find the graves of family members that he had left behind.
I mean, I wouldn't doubt it either. I've heard stories like that before where kids will literally talk about names of pilots in wars and the type of plane. They're like 5. They don't know these things on their own.
They don't know these things. Yeah.
And they will say things, and their parents will go look these things up, and there will be actual pilots that, like, flew in the air and died in the plane. And they talk about it, and they, like, resemble the child. I'm like, that was them in the other life. Like, it's incredible. Yeah.
It is so incredible. I knew years ago, I had some friends who had a child who at the age of 3 was just spectacularly good at baseball, like, so good. And they were pretty convinced this kid was the reincarnation of Babe Ruth. Like, it was just this, you know, because this kid had this throw and had this relationship, like, just completely didn't make any sense. Yeah. But it's so fascinating. Just, and this is where meeting them where they are, and letting them be themselves, allows us to discover what is the, like, to just, like, to let that blossom instead of suppress it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a cool thing. And I don't know, man. They're just the coolest. It's the coolest thing. I can't put it into words, but just the parenthood. And I mean, I'm only in the very beginning stages and we're in the trenches with these two littles. They're just keeping us so busy and it's times, but it's so worth it. And I just think what an honor that I got to bring in. I was the portal. That's how I look at it. As a woman gave birth, I was the portal to bring these two beings and they picked me and my husband. Like, that is the coolest thing. I was like, thank you for, now I know what you did for me. Like that, I'm so grateful you brought me into the world. And, you know, yeah, I could actually, one more thing. This is kind of interesting going back to all the health sensitivities that I have. My mom was sick through her whole pregnancy, throwing up every day, which isn't that common to go full term to be that sick all the time.
Right, right.
I have like a fear of throwing up.
Of course you do.
I probably obviously was hearing her do that and I'm in tune to it. So it's like these things that we have in our life, if you're wondering why you are the way you are, like look deeper, look at your family, look at your parents, look at the cords that you probably have still connected. There are reasons for it. And
yeah,
sometimes just knowing the reason's enough and you can just be like, oh, that makes sense. Like, I don't have to be afraid anymore. Like I don't have to hold her energy anymore. Right.
Right. Right. Well, and there's the absorbed emotions, both as an empath. I mean, in emotion code, they talk about this a lot about how we can absorb emotions. And as empaths, we're more vulnerable and susceptible to absorbing emotions than the average person is, but it makes complete sense. Like if your mom had, I can't think of the word to say it the right way, but I know Amy Schumer went through this. Comedian Amy Schumer, she basically vomited through her entire pregnancy with her kid and did quite a bit of work actually about sort of getting the word out about this condition. But, you know, I'm just imagining that not only did you hear your mother vomiting and could you feel your mother's distress, but probably you were also absorbing the thoughts, the feelings, and her energy. Yeah. And like that stuff just locks in until we address it and clear it.
Totally. And you know, it's like interesting because you can look at this as a blessing and also not as a curse, but you can clear it. Like you said, when you know it, you can let some of that go if it's actually like affecting your life negatively.
Right.
Or I also think because my mom is very sensitive, that whole circumstance of me probably being in there, being really sensitive to that. But also I think I'm really sensitive and I'm very in tune with my body. Like I can notice right away, something's off. I knew before I was pregnant. So that's just intuition. We all have that. But I think there's a gift with the sensitivities because you're very in tune. And that is such a helpful thing that can help you catch something, that can help you figure something out. So see where I think that's one thing. I don't know if you talk about that on your show, being sensitive and empathetic, it can be life altering and be very painful and hard to function. It can also be the biggest blessing, one to
absolutely
help yourself or others. So I think it's all how you look at it.
It is. Well, and it's how you navigate it and how you use it. And I absolutely believe that it's like our empathic sensitivity can be our greatest curse and it can also be our greatest blessing. And that ultimately, what we want to be able to do is flip the switch from empathic overwhelm to the capacity to use our gifts to make a difference in this world and to help ourselves. And, you know, as you were saying that about just being really in tune and sensitive, I feel like I've been able to, like, I catch things in my own body so quickly that things don't escalate to the point where they really, I mean, I might ignore the universe saying, hey, you don't want to go to that party, set a boundary. But it's like, I'm much more likely to have a mild experience with something than a major experience because I do pay attention and I catch it early with that sensitivity.
Yeah, you have to balance it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Lauren, I cannot believe how quickly the time has gone by in this conversation. I mean, you know, we started and it was like, where did the time go? So before I let you go, I have three questions. The first one is there anything else that just feels really, really important to talk about, to like that you're like, you'd kick yourself if you didn't say?
Oh my goodness. Well, there's like so much, but I mean, it sounds cheesy, but because I feel like I've been through so much this last year and it's been my motto in my household for myself and my husband and my children, because we're in the thick of it with two kids. We moved, which is like literally one of the most stressful things they say in life to do. We had a child, we moved, we've had sicknesses. My husband's had some transition stuff with his job. I have my podcast. Like, we've had so many things go on in our life. It's been so stressful, but it's also been, we've had the biggest blessings. They often go together. It's been hard on our marriage. Just having kids is hard. I know this literally, you've heard it before and it's nothing new, but please, if you're listening, no matter what you're going, have grace, extra grace for yourself.
Yes.
Have extra grace for other people in your life. This is a crazy time and history has always been crazy, but right now, anyone who's empathetic knows there's just so much happening and we just have to have some grace. Please, everyone with yourself, be kind to yourself and to others because you don't know what they're going through. And there's a lot to sort through right now. So just a reminder to have grace and forgiveness for yourself. I think those are some of the most beautiful things we can learn here as humans. Forgiveness would be a huge thing that would go with karma. And Dolores Cannon talks about that. If you don't forgive, you're going to be connected to that person or this earth potentially longer. If you know. So I think learning and to have more grace and forgiveness is something to really help with our spiritual growth. That would probably be my main thing, just to remind, especially if you're empathetic and you're hard on yourself for being empathetic, where others in your life are telling you, just have grace. Everything
just have is grace.
The way it is. Yeah, it's okay.
Mm.
Overcomplicate everything.
Oh, God bless us. Well, and yeah, I mean, it's so easy to overcomplicate things. And I really appreciate that message. Like just that message of let's all have grace for ourselves and each other because we are all going through it.
We are all together. That's the thing. Yeah. All together.
Mm-hmm. So the next thing that I always do, and I mentioned this to you before, is that I always love to do a little bit of time traveling with a podcast. And my reason for that is that I believe podcasts exist outside of time. We record this message. It's going to be on servers and it's going to be available for people to listen to for years and years and years from now. And I believe that in a way, it's like we drop a rock in the river of time and the ripples go both ways. And so what I believe is that we are broadcasting a message that's going forward and back, and we can send a message specifically back to a part of you that really needs to hear it. Okay. So my question to you is, who and when are we going back to, and what are you telling her? What does she need to hear? And I love even just like speaking directly to her, like we're like sending that like Princess Leia to Obi-Wan Kenobi kind of message back there. Like, yeah. So where
myself, but it can be to any woman, any person. I mean, I'm speaking from my sensitive Lauren female feminine. So I'll just say that especially women, we're really hard on ourselves sometimes, but I'm piggybacking off advice that I've heard, but I feel it so deeply right now because I've been going through a lot with the housewarming. Like I gave you examples, I was trying to be perfect. They've asked a lot of people on their deathbeds, what are some things? And I can already feel it now in my heart. And I'm obviously not on my deathbed, but don't worry so much. Stop worrying so much about every little thing. It doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. So for example, like Lauren, all these things that didn't get done for your house, for the housewarming, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Your friends are coming over, your family, they're supporting you. You have a beautiful new home and a healthy family. You are blessed. It doesn't have to be spotless. It doesn't have to be perfectly decorated. Everything is just beautiful the way it is. Is this supposed to be joyful, not stressful?
Ah, this is supposed to be joyful, not stressful.
Anything. Just this, it's okay. It's all going to work out. We stress ourselves out about so many things. That was just the one example, but it could be anything. So don't worry so much.
Yeah. Oh, so beautiful.
You know what? It's going to work out.
It's going to work out. Yeah. It's going to work out. Yeah.
So much of what we worry about doesn't happen.
Oh, exactly. Well, and also like so often the standard that we're judging ourselves by is an internal standard of what we've imagined. Nobody else knows what what we're expecting the house to look like. Like when you were saying, it's like the house wasn't fully complete and decorated. Nobody except for you and maybe your husband have any idea what the plan is. They're just like, wow, this is a really cool place. And I just think so often we have this yardstick that we gauge ourselves against that is so artificial that nobody else is paying any attention to.
True. And, you know, part of it is like, yes, it's your space. You know, like it doesn't have to be like artificial. It's like, yeah, this is our space. We want it to look nice and comfortable. And, you know, to be fair, we've been in here for 6 months. Like I'm being psycho. Like we moved in for the first month. I don't have things. Trust me. I have had piles of things. Literally ask my husband, like, this week, can I have time? I need time. I just need time. If you can watch the girls, so I can hang this. I just want to hang this. Literally 4 months. Me, Virgo, Lauren, like, what does that mean? I don't know that world. Now that I have children, things wait and I'm trying to get used to it. But I'm like, it's been six damn months. I want to hang this picture. Like I've been patient. So, you know, but to your point of the artificial thing, yes, there is a society pressure sometimes about your house and how it looks. And I've had friends that have kids. They're just like, your house is meant to be lived in. It's not like a staged home. It's okay.
Right.
Houses everywhere. And that's new to me as a new mom. I'm getting used to that. So anywho, it's
children just broke Marie Kondo.
Yes. Yeah.
Like, you know, Miss Tidy, you know, it's the queen of tidiness. I her whole attitude and approach in life, apparently, like having kids completely changed her. She's just like, yeah, can't keep everything clean when you got little kids.
I love her, by the way. When we moved to our other house and this house, I sat on the ground and I put my hands on the floors and I said, this is going to be a blessed, healthy, happy, beautiful home with love. Like I do love her,
her approach.
I'll just say don't worry about stuff and just be grateful. Gratitude has literally been like a game changer for me. Even in the muck, there's always something to be grateful for. And I think if you can find one thing a day and focus on that, like your life will change because the universe reflects that back to you. I think the more grateful you are, the more you will continue to receive abundance, you know, in any way or shape or form. But being grateful and not worrying would be my two things I would tell myself and to anyone listening. Life game changers.
Game changers. Grace and gratitude.
Grace and gratitude.
Mm-hmm. So final question. How do we find you? How do we find your podcast?
Yes, thank you. So Lauren.live, I'm on pretty much every platform. I have YouTube video and then audio is on Apple, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Amazon, Google Play, you know, podcasts, and Instagram at @reallaurenlive. And then I have a website, but you know, the Instagram has a link tree, but it's just Lauren.live. So basically everything is Lauren.live.
Everything is Lauren.live. And if you are listening, and you just need to come back around, it is in the show notes at empathicmasteryshow.com so that you can just click on a link and go listen to Lauren's awesome podcast. Lauren, this has been such a good conversation, you know, just touching on control and the gift and the blessings of parenthood and just germaphobes and all of the things we've discussed today. So, so, so rich. Thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. It's been fun to be on the other side of the mic. I appreciate it. And thank you guys for listening. It's been really fun.
As we come to the end of this episode, I'd love to hear what you're taking from this show. Please jump over to empathicmasteryshow.com to leave your comments. In the show notes, you'll find a link to grab your copy of My Empathic Safety Guide, 3 Basics for Finding Calm in the Eye of the Storm. And while you're there, please subscribe and follow this show. And thank you for your help sharing this show with the people who need it. Please help me to spread the word and send this podcast to friends or family members who need support living as highly sensitive empathic people. Then join me again when the next Empathic Mastery Show airs. Okay, one last time. Hop over to empathicmasteryshow.com for your empathic safety guide. And until next show, shine on. We need you and your gifts here on this planet. So please don't judge your empathic rainbow by colorblind standards.